Assessment Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Peter King is going to jump on board in about 20 minutes. Less than that, 15 minutes. Peter King, SI.com, senior NFL writer, the Monday morning quarterback, our weekly visit with Peter King. None better on a national level than Peter. Looking forward to his conversation. I want to talk to him about the playoffs, how it all lays out, and go through each one of the possibilities for the Arizona Cardinals in their first-round playoff matchup. Let's go through Washington. Let's go through Green Bay. Let's go through Minnesota. Give me the view that they would have in trying to beat Arizona here. So that will be with Peter King in a few minutes. I found myself last night, I don't know about you, I was watching Kansas and Oklahoma. It's usually rare that I'll get into a college basketball game on television. I went the other day to ASU U of A because it was ASU U of A. You need to be at that game. But by and large, my college basketball blood does not start running until 1st of February. It's not like it was when I was growing up. I don't know about you guys, but man, when ESPN first started, and I'm going to sound real old here and get off my lawn guy, but when ESPN first started, and it would be Ralph Sampson against Patrick Ewing or Ralph Sampson against Hakeem Olajuwon, my day would be built around that. And yeah, I was younger. I didn't have the responsibilities of parents, a company, and all that stuff. But college basketball in the last, I would say probably the last 10 years from my view, hasn't been as special. Now, I don't know if it's the basketball program in my own backyard at Arizona State hasn't been good. I didn't go to ASU, so I don't really care one way or the other about results other than they haven't been good. They haven't been interesting. They haven't been entertaining. If they have a good player like James Harden, he's here and he's gone. There's people that have said, why have you made such a big deal out of Grand Canyon University? Well, because Dan's come in, and I thought even Russ Pennell, it was an interesting story when he first got there to try to turn that program around. And every March, we travel with the U of A. We do. And we even traveled with ASU. Although, I don't know, Eric, Jared slept on a, what was it? He slept, when he went to Marquette with ASU, they played Texas in an NCAA tournament game. He took a red eye. And he had to sleep in the lobby, I think it was.
I believe that's the case.
I think that was like our first year of doing this.
That was a memorable game, by the way, that UT-ASU game. Heartbreaker for the Devils, if you
Heartbreak. It was memorable in what way?
Well, it was a close loss. They lost at the buzzer.
Oh, one of those games.
Yeah, one of those.
All right. You did not, you and I were talking earlier, you didn't see Kansas-Oklahoma.
I did not. I'm not yet in total college basketball mode, but I will be in the next couple weeks. Probably so, after Monday, after the national championship game, I'll really just switch gears.
So Musburger and Vitale were doing their thing. And look, Musburger, somebody put a tweet out earlier today. It would be really interesting to go to Las Vegas with Brent Musburger and see where he goes. He referred to our buddy Jimmy during the Rose Bowl. He talked to Vaccaro.
Yeah, you could tell he had money on Iowa.
Yeah.
Watch enough Brett Musburger, the little subtle hints that he drops and some of the lines that he uses, it's pretty evident which team he has money on.
And last night he referred to it as people in the desert. The people in the desert. Well, now we're referred to as the desert, so I'm thinking, what is it here? Well, no, he's referring to Vegas.
But he can speak in those generalities, and the common fan may not know. But if you watch enough, and you're online enough, and you read enough, you know exactly what he's talking
exactly
about.
What he's saying. So here's Musburger and Vitale. Here's two white guys in their mid-70s.
Icons,
right? Two guys that have seen it forever, and you're saying, well, what's the big deal about white guys? They've just been here and done it through generation after generation after generation, and they've seen it all, you would think. And two guys that are near the end of their broadcast careers, I don't think they're going to make it to 150 in terms of length of life. And they were as excited and geeked as I've heard them. It was really cool. Like, Brent Musburger was more into Kansas-Oklahoma last night. For those of you that missed it, this is the first time since 2008 that two teams were ranked 1 and 2 met one another in a regular season. And so it wasn't Hakeem Olajuwon against Lorenzo Charles in North Carolina State dunking the ball at New Mexico. It wasn't one of those moments. But the game went triple overtime last night.
In a conference game, no less.
How odd is that? A conference game. And there was a player for Oklahoma that had 46, and he did it on 22 shots. That to me was the most impressive part. And some people, disputed me on this on Twitter, which is fine. I just merely made a mention, hey, they didn't storm the court after a triple overtime win on national television. I know it's number one against number two, but in a lot of arenas after a game like that, some nitwits would have tried to storm the court. And instead, they actually gave a standing ovation to the players from Oklahoma at Kansas last night. The game's at Kansas. And so it was terrific. It was just, it was everything that you would want in a sporting event. I can get into seeing the Coyotes go back and forth and play a real nip and tuck game. I can get into seeing the Suns play a real nip. Well, maybe that's a bad example. I can get into seeing most any team here in the Valley do their thing and be credible and put up a good fight. We haven't seen that with the NBA team at all. So it was kind of nice to see the college run the last few days.
Oh, especially for college basketball, because let's be honest, Brad, outside of March Madness, the general interest in the regular college basketball season, I don't know if it's gone, but it's certainly dwindled quite a bit.
They've been talking about moving the season to start in January and to end in May. And I think that's more for the television calendar, because these tournaments in November and December don't really draw flies.
Because you're going head-to-head with football.
Yeah. So I watched that last night. I had quite a few people that wanted to weigh in or get my thoughts on Robert Sarver's deal on millennials. So the Suns owner, he told Dan Bickley at AZ Central, quote, "I'm not just sure it's the NBA. My whole view of the millennial culture is that they have a tough time dealing with setbacks, and Markieff Morris is the perfect example. Da 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 da." You can see it all over on AZ Central, and we partner with AZ Central Sports, and it's good job by Dan to get him. It's about time Robert talked. It's just, I don't want to hear about why you think it's millennials' problems. You are an owner of an NBA franchise. Millennials are not going away, okay? You know, I hold this up whenever I go speak and said, this is where it's all going. This is in my industry, in our industry of media, this is where it's all going, right here. And if we don't embrace that and accept that, that this is the first priority, it's not a radio, it's not a television, it's not a paper, that it's all here first. If we can't accept that, we better get out of our industry. In Robert's case, he has no reason to get out because he's making money hand over fist on the Suns. So when I read this stuff about the culture, he's right. I do believe that he's right. Social media can be, it's not a fantasy land. It can be a fantasy land. It can be very unfair and unforgiving. Eric had a perfect example. We were talking yesterday off the air about Kyle Allen. Here's this quarterback that decides to leave Texas A&M, and he's just getting savaged and brutalized by people he has no idea who they are. He can't respond to them all en masse because there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them that like to take cheap shots. We get some of that stuff. It's fine. You can block some people if you want, or you just don't do it. But for Robert to say, you know, it's a deal with social media and it's a deal within society, it's great to be a deep thinker on that. I happen to agree with him on some of his points, but that's not going to change the fact that your team stinks. And it was built poorly. It was built on sand. And so he's left with this just disaster. Tonight, I should start doing a Simmons watch. Ben Simmons plays tonight. You may have never heard of Ben Simmons. You should. The Suns should be all in on Ben Simmons. I don't know if you've seen it, but the 76ers have won three of their last six. They're a 500 team. Since Jerry came on board, he added Ish Smith, who was a former Sun, and he traded a second-round pick for him. They won again last night by 10 against Minnesota. Yeah, I'm watching this stuff because I've said Jerry is going to get the 76ers into the playoffs before Robert's going to get the Suns into the playoffs. You watch. And I read this stuff and I look at it and say, this doesn't solve the problem. This doesn't solve the problem. In fact, Ryan McDonough's a millennial. Last time I checked. I don't know. Is Greg Popovich struggling with millennials? Is Steve Kerr struggling with millennials? Or is it in Oklahoma City? Are they really having problems with millennials and the culture? Or, I don't know, is it that they have star players and they convince them to come here? If LaMarcus Aldridge had come here, all of a sudden everything's cured? Sixers 3-3 in their last six games. Just watch. We're going to talk to Peter King here in a minute, and then I'm going to go over to the college. I don't think this is going to be a well-received college football title game. In fact, I think that this college football postseason is going to end up being a lead balloon. I'm going to get into that in about 10 minutes. And also, Clemson is back in school and Alabama is not. And there's different rules if you're back in school of what, how much you can practice versus if you're not back in school yet. So these two teams are in a title game. They're playing by two separate deals here. And the Cleveland Browns hired a former baseball GM to run their team. Of course they did. And their quarterback, who's the number one pick, was wearing a wig in Vegas. I can't make this stuff up. I can't. Peter King is next. We'll talk about the Cardinals and their playoff chances. You just found us here, sports360az.com. And, of course, we partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We here do our thing every day at 10 o'clock. And then you can check us out over on the web, sports360az.com.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360az.
Let's talk further now about the playoffs, and we'll get to the Cardinals, to all things around the National Football League with Peter King, the great Peter King, the Monday morning quarterback. He joins us via Skype from New York City. The playoff competition gets started. What is the overriding storyline for you, Peter? Maybe the Cardinals. It may be Manning, Osweiler, or maybe something else. What's the overriding playoff story for you?
I think the most interesting thing about the playoffs this year, Brad, is that I don't think there's a team that everybody looks at and says, well, that's the team. Would anybody really be shocked if the Super Bowl this year matched the six seeds in each conference? You know, by far, the NFL has had this 16 per conference playoff system since 1990. And I look back last night and my take about this playoff system or this playoff year is that, it's deepest at the bottom is any time I ever remember. You know, if you have basically, Seattle going on the road, and Pittsburgh going on the road, most probably, obviously they'd have to play a total of six road games to meet in the Super Bowl. So I don't think that's going to happen. But my point is, it's pretty darn good right now if you think that your six seeds and your five seeds really, are obviously pretty good. So I think it's a pretty wide open deal.
Let's go into Denver for a second and Manning, Osweiler, how they're handling that. Manning throws 17 picks in what was it, 9 games he started, 10 that he played total. Are they handling this the right way from your point of view?
I may be in the minority in the media, but as I've watched this thing go, I think Gary Kubiak has played it absolutely 100% right. Every week he's done this. He's basically said, in essence, he's told his players. Somebody on their team told me that Kubiak walked in when this first started and he said, guys, I'm going to tell you exactly what's happening. When you need to know something about our quarterback situation, I'm going to keep you updated, because he said he didn't want them hearing it from the outside or hearing it from someplace else. So Kubiak has let his team know what he's thinking. And essentially, when you think about it, Brad, he's basically said every week, we're going to do what's best for us to win this week. Mm-hmm. And until Sunday, I believe this past Sunday, he had no idea that Peyton Manning could come in and play well enough to help him win. Now that he has, I think it's going to be very difficult for him to change. I think he's going to probably have to keep Manning in the game in their first playoff game, a week from this weekend. And I think it's the right call by him.
Peter King joining us, the Monday morning quarterback. On the Cardinals front, so the loss to Seattle, how big of a concern, red flag, was it for you?
It would be a concern. I mean, you don't want to overestimate one game. Mm-hmm. You really don't. But the fact is that in 28 minutes, where for the most part it was ones versus ones, you know, it was first unit Arizona, first unit Seattle. They played 28 minutes of that, really the first half, but in 28 minutes, it was 30-6. It's at Arizona. There's motivation for Arizona to try to win the game. It's not vital.
Right.
But there's motivation to try to win the game because you still have a chance to win the first seed. But I don't want to make too much of it, Brad, honestly, because I think we've seen during the course of the season, late in the season especially, every team have, you know, a couple of hiccups. You know, Carolina, not only did they lose to Atlanta, but they allowed 35 to the Giants and 38 to the Saints. There's no shame in that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what it says to me is that right now, any team can have a bad week, a bad Sunday, whatever. And there is no absolutely premier team that everybody looks at and says, well, that's the team. I think each conference, I mean, what do you think about the Patriots right now?
Sure.
2-4 in their last six. They treated Sunday's game in Miami like it was an intra-squad scrimmage. I half expected to see all the coaches out on the field say, hey, run that play again. It just, it was a ridiculous football game. It was like the Patriots just said, the Patriots wish there was a running clock for that game.
Yeah.
Just get us out of here so that nobody else gets hurt.
Bruce said yesterday that he's going to coach each practice this week against the team that they may face. So it'll be Green Bay one day, Minnesota one day, Washington one day. And for the sake of time, Peter, let's just go through a thumbnail. As the Cardinals get ready to face Washington, the biggest concern for Arizona with the Redskins, from your view, would be what?
The fact that they've gone from a team that on offense at the start of the year was very, very run-centric, protect the quarterback, don't expose the quarterback, don't make him do too much, to in the second half of the season. You know, right now, if you look at Kirk Cousins' second half of the season, his touchdown to interception ratio was 19-2. He had 7 out of 8, I think it is, or 6 out of 7, I forget, quarterback ratings over 100 to end the season. I mean, look, I don't want to over dramatize this, but Green Bay goes to Washington on Sunday. And if you close your eyes and took off the uniform numbers and everything like that late in the season, Kirk Cousins is playing like Aaron Rodgers, probably playing more like Aaron Rodgers than Aaron Rodgers did.
Mm.
And so, I mean, Mike Shanahan always said this about Cousins. Give him a chance, be patient with him, and just watch. He's going to turn into a top 10 quarterback. I mean, Kirk Cousins, I don't know that he's a top 10 quarterback right now, but he's really good. And so you watch him now and you say, Washington has a chance to win any game. I'm not saying they're going to go to Arizona and win that game. I'm not.
Sure.
But they certainly have a chance more than anybody thought they would at midseason.
They have a better chance in Green Bay because when the Cardinals played the Packers, it just looks like the Packers
it's
do not have...
It's just the wrong year for Green Bay.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
just, you know, we can... I hate to dismiss Green Bay, but I keep watching them in the last half of the season. Ever since the, you know, we all thought, I think everybody who watches football thought that after the Hail Mary game happened, I think it was December 3rd in Detroit. It mm-hmm. was that, you know, it was the Monday night game, I think.
Right. No, you're right.
It up. Or a Thursday game. I forget. Thursday. But I thought, that's it. Here we go. They're going to finally get on track. And ever since then, I mean, it was a struggle for them to beat Dallas, a struggle, even though I think they put up 30 points against Oakland. It was a struggle there. And the Arizona and Minnesota games were absolute total debacles. And, you know, so to me, I wrote this today when I did my final Fine 15 of the year, what the Packers need is an off season of getting back to the basics. But what they have is a road playoff game at Washington. I mean, this sounds insane. You're a big Packers fan. You need this season to be over. You need to go fix your team.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on that. And then there's Minnesota that the Cardinals will prepare for, one of their practices this week. And when the Vikings played here, I felt like it was a very competitive game. The Cardinals did not play a clean game by any stretch of the imagination. Could you see Minnesota giving the Cardinals fits in a game here?
Only if they were able to do two things. I remember, Brad, before the Super Bowl 1990 season, when the Giants were going to play Buffalo, there wasn't the extra week that year, and the Giants were going to be a gigantic underdog. The Bills won the AFC championship game that year against Oakland 51-3. The Giants went out to San Francisco and had a huge upset of the 49ers. They beat them with five field goals, I think 15-13 or something like that. When they got on the plane, when they got on the bus to go to the airport in San Francisco, Bill Parcells turned to Ron Earhart, his offensive coordinator, and said to him, play clock ball. And by that, he meant keep the ball out of Jim Kelly's hands, have long possessions, let the clock run all the way down before you snap it, tell your guys to stay in bounds and all that. And so the end result was, the Bills had the ball, I think, in that game for about 18 minutes, and the Giants won when Norwood's kick went wide right. But my point is, what I would do if I were Mike Zimmer, what I would do if I were Norv Turner in this game, is I would just say, look, there's a reason why we have the best running back in football on our team, and we are going to use them. We are going to make the Arizona Cardinals come up and play eight-man boxes regularly. And if they're willing to do that, and if they're willing to put Diggs one-on-one and, you know, cover, you know, and cover all the receivers, basically single cover, even when you spread the field, I would basically say that's the only way I'd turn it into Teddy Bridgewater's hands. I would make the Cardinals stop Adrian Peterson.
It'll be really interesting to see what happens on that front. Cardinals, a week from Saturday, will be their first playoff game. Peter, as always, appreciate the time. Thanks.
All the best, Brad. Thank you.
I have yet to get really in the mood for the Clemson-Alabama game. And those of you that have watched us through the last 4 years know that college football is part of our backbone here. We've made a big deal out of all facets of college football because there's just not enough attention given to it in our state. And I actually think regionally there's not enough interest given to it. We have the national title game here this coming Monday night here in Glendale. I sent a note yesterday to Mike Neely at the Fiesta Bowl and Andy McCain at the Fiesta Bowl and said, nice job with the first couple of games. That's a hard gig, okay? And it's also a very different landscape than what it once was. I've not been happy with how the Fiesta Bowl has changed and has morphed. It's been very difficult for me to see a bowl game that was a pillar in the community be relegated in the bowl structure. I'm not saying here in town, but relegated nationally to just kind of sort of, here's something we're going to fill in as programming at 11 a.m. on New Year's Day, and there's not a special feeling to it. Am I on point here, Eric, on this?
Yeah. To a certain degree. I didn't hear everything you said. Sorry, we have some breaking news here. So run the breaking news sounder.
We're ABC at Skyview. So,
according to the Houston Chronicle, Kyle Allen will be transferring to the University of Houston.
So, and this is on the college football front.
And again, sorry, I just got a text from a couple people. So,
can you find him? You have a phone in front of you.
It didn't come from him. It came from the Houston Chronicle, but I'm guessing, I'm guessing it's accurate, but I went to his Twitter account first thinking he would be the one that broke it.
Yeah.
But if true, then...
We'll give him a call. I'll talk here for a few minutes. Just tell me if you got him. That's how it works here. Anyways, so the college football part, the landscape has changed, and it's been hard for me to embrace it because I'm so used to the Fiesta Bowl being on this huge pillar, okay? And I'm one of those I could go into a whole show about John Junker. I just saw him a couple of weeks ago, and he's out of prison. He's done his time. And the special part of having the Fiesta Bowl here, the national title game. So the same group of volunteers that has handled the last week of the Fiesta Bowl, that has handled the Cactus Bowl, those same Yellow Jackets still have responsibilities this week within our community. Coming up on Thursday, Alabama and Clemson are scheduled to arrive. But I don't think, and this isn't a swipe, I don't see a buzz here locally about it. It's almost like, well, this is a big convention of people coming from the South that are going to hang out here in our backyard for a few days. Yes, and that is a good thing. Anybody who wants to paint it otherwise, you are just not in touch. It is terrific to have a part of the country. Think about it. How often have fans from Alabama come in to Arizona to check anything out on a sporting front? Okay? That doesn't happen. And that's a rabid fan base. And it's an enormous fan base. How many fans from Clemson have rolled through Arizona to check out what's going on here locally? Nobody. Right? So you have two big-time fan bases, two big-time programs that are going to come this far west and be in our backyard. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, they're going to get out of here. The airport is going to be swarmed. We're going to get exposure. Hotels are going to be filled. You don't believe this. Some of you don't. Some of you are like, you know what, Brad? I just want my games. I don't care about the business side. Think of it in larger terms. Open your mind up to this. That this is good for us. That said, Clemson, Alabama doesn't resonate, I don't believe, with the country. I wouldn't imagine the television ratings next Monday night when Clemson is playing Alabama here in Phoenix, or even in our state, Tucson, Flagstaff, wherever, are going to be very good. And yet, I do believe the committee got it right. I do believe these are the two best teams in the nation. You can make an argument the way that Stanford looked in their bowl game in the Rose Bowl against Iowa, that they would be part of this.
So will next week be suffering from last week?
Yes, because the bowl season wasn't good.
Correct.
Right?
And people have sort of moved forward from that.
When you have 40 bowl games, what is it, Eric? 40, 36, 40
bowl games?
Who knows?
Yeah, something like that.
You just get fatigued with it. Like, okay, I've seen enough bowl games. They're still playing college football here in January? And so nationally, do you think that this is going to draw people to their television sets in Seattle?
The only reason I think the number could be big is you have a national power in Alabama.
Correct.
And you're on a night where there's nothing else as big as that game. You're not competing against another bowl game. You're not competing against Monday Night Football. You're not.
The Bachelor's on. Come on. Greg Biggins. I know that name.
It will take. Greg Biggins was on The Bachelor?
Not the sportscaster.
Oh.
But it was Greg Biggins.
Oh.
I had to Google it myself. Like, wow. No way. No way.
Interesting. But yeah, I mean, again,
yeah. I caught you on that one.
That kind of caught me off guard. But yeah. I think that the number will be fine. I tend to take the other side just because it's on a Monday night. But there are people that are sick of hearing about Alabama, and those people probably won't tune in.
But see, if you're a college football, if you're an Ohio State fan, like this game will do well in small markets. Columbus, Ohio is not Los Angeles. Sorry to say, if you like Columbus, move. Madison, Wisconsin, it will probably do fine in Madison. If you're a rabid college football fan, Stillwater, Oklahoma might get a good number. But if you look at the whole bowl season, and the fact that the semifinals were played on New Year's Eve, and then the next day there were bowl games, it just felt off. This whole bowl season has felt off and awkward. And there haven't been very many compelling bowl games.
Like two?
You have
three
losing teams playing in bowl games. You've had blowouts in bowl games.
Easy there. Those 5-7 teams went 3-0. So.
Well, but here's the thing. They may have gone 3-0, but it's still the perception that There's too many of these games.
I even think, Brad, 6-6 teams shouldn't be allowed to play in bowls. But that's a conversation for a whole nother show.
I heard the Nevada-Colorado State game in Tucson might have had 4,000 paying customers.
It was freezing cold, and the game was not on TV. It was
streamed.
It was streamed, but it was not on like a traditional TV set.
And, which is fine. I'm all about streaming, but come on, how many of these can you have? The Cactus Bowl, for everybody who wants to make fun of the name of the Cactus Bowl and Motel 6. And I wasn't thrilled when Motel 6 came along, but they came along and they were smart. The Yellow Jackets were smart. ASU was bad this year. So they fit into that bowl game and there was a good crowd there. Chase Field was fine. It was buzzing. But I don't think those same fans are saying, boy, I cannot wait to go to the Clemson-Alabama game. Scalpers may do well out there with fans from Clemson and Alabama. Tailgating's not going to be ASU or U of A fans hanging their banners out there. There's that. The other part of the story is Clemson is back in school. And this is a small detail, but I think it's a very interesting one for the committee. Because the committee, the College Football Playoff Committee, the CFP, next year the semifinals, one of the semifinals is here next year. We have the championship game this year. Next year, we have the semifinal. The Fiesta Bowl is one of the semifinals along with the Peach Bowl. And so when you have the semifinal game, and it's going to be played again on New Year's Eve, Clemson is back in school. They started school yesterday. So because of that, under NCAA rules, they can only be a part of team activities for 20 hours this week. 20 hours this week, 4 hours a day. Alabama is not back in school yet. They don't start till next week. So guess what? They can do whatever they want as long as they want. Now, from a competitive advantage, is that a real competitive advantage? Or do you look at it and say, well, it's Clemson and Alabama. They're just going to go about their business. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but it is something to look at and say, you know, if you're going to have this on the same playing field, if a kid needs to get ice and stim on his knee, and he's already been through a three-hour practice, and the training staff has to sit there and say, we can only see you for another hour, that's not fair. That's not fair. That's not right. And we're going to talk more about this Kyle Allen situation because it is a big story with him here in the Valley and this report and what's going on at Arizona and Arizona State, too, on the football front. A little bit more on the Cardinals, too. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Yesterday, Eric and I were both out at Bruce Arians, and he had his Monday meltdown, so to speak. He got after Justin Bethel pretty good, and he was a little surly yesterday, as I think he should have been.
Yeah. I mean, one of the first questions was, how would the tape look? And his response was, I'm paraphrasing, just as bad as we thought it was going to look.
Yeah. No, they were awful. He was after Justin Bethel and then John Brown. There was a couple players. That's his style. I can't sit here and say they're real clouds over the Cardinals getting ready for the playoffs. I don't believe that. It's kind of like what Peter said earlier about the Patriots just going through a glorified scrimmage with the Miami Dolphins. So we'll leave it at that. They are off today. They will work out tomorrow, Thursday and Friday, and they will do so against the Packers, the Vikings, and the Redskins, meaning they're going to put in everything that those three teams are doing and then at least walk through it and see it. And then they'll know on Saturday, who it is that they'll be meeting for the game a week from Saturday. The game is a week from Saturday. So there's that going on. The other story, it's just now breaking, as Eric said about 15 minutes ago. It's now, what, a couple reports?
A couple of people in Houston are reporting that Kyle Allen is going to play football at the University of Houston.
Okay, so if we're talking about Kyle Allen, we've got some video of him against Arizona State when he tore him up. If we're talking about Kyle Allen, there were some people that said, well, wouldn't he consider coming back here? No, although I think there was a feeling within the ASU football offices from day one when he went to Texas A&M that it wasn't going to work out for him. There's Christian Kirk with him earlier this year. Could he have gone to U of A? I don't think that was ever an option for him. So, you know, put those to the side. Kyle Allen, I thought, had a pretty good run at Texas A&M. They were not loaded from top to bottom. Their season fizzled out. They ended up going 8-5. Christian Kirk was there as well. And, of course, when you put the two of them together, and ASU fans don't want to see this bit of video because they just got destroyed by Christian and Kyle together in the game start of the season. You know him very, very well, Eric. And So does this move make sense? To me, it makes sense. Tom Herman is the head coach at Houston.
That is the connection. So one of Kyle's final five schools was Ohio State mm-hmm. when Tom Herman was the offensive coordinator. For Urban Meyer. Now Tom Herman is the head coach at the University of Houston. You saw what they did in the Peach Bowl. It's a very friendly offensive system.
Wide open.
They have plenty of playmakers, and they have sort of made a reputation for getting good athletes from Houston, mm-hmm. which is important because that is obviously a high school football hotbed. I'm a little surprised that he didn't go back and play in a Power 5 conference because he's certainly good enough to. But it's a good fit, and I'm guessing, just in my knowing people close to the situation,
the family,
they wanted to go to a place where there would be no drama. There would be no Kenny Hill. There would be no Kyler Murray. They would go to a place where Kyle Allen would play and would not have to look over his shoulder. And I'm sure Tom Herman said, if you come here, we have a player, a very good quarterback that's graduating next year. You will redshirt, and then you will be the guy in 2017.
As he looks towards the NFL.
That's correct.
Here's how I would poke a hole in that. Kyle Allen will have two to play two. I would be a betting man that Tom Herman would not be there for the two to play two.
Maybe, but they just extended him, and they gave him a bunch of money. And the facilities there are not as archaic as you would think at the mm-hmm. University of Houston. And you can win at those types of places because you can recruit there. I would agree. Yes, if a much bigger, better job comes along.
Urban Meyer leaves. They're going to come after him.
They will.
Yeah, and any big program, they're going to come after Tom Herman. His name's already been out there. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad move. You know, the conference that he's going to, people will look at that. I don't think that means anything. You know, for as bad as Colin Kaepernick is or was this past season or last few years, guy went to Nevada, guy goes to the NFL, guy goes to the Super Bowl. You can do it. It doesn't matter the size of the school.
It doesn't.
It doesn't anymore.
Nope, it doesn't. They will find you.
They're going to find you. And it's not like they're not playing anybody there in Houston either. So, you know, I think for him, that's a good move. I think it's a really good move, really smart move.
And I guess one of the other reported finalists for his services was Ohio State. But again, you're going to be going there to a log jam of quarterbacks if he goes to Ohio State. So.
Okay, so that's where that is. I got some time here about Arizona State. So we're going to talk about this on the TV show tonight. I also want to mention U of A. U of A fired their whole defensive staff yesterday, including Jeff Castile, who's been with Rich Rod for 18 years. I saw Greg Byrne Sunday at the ASU-U of A game, had a nice chat with him, and I have all the respect for him. And he didn't talk about football per se, but you know him well enough. We had lunch before the U of A-ASU game that things were not all together. And if there's been a criticism of Rich, it's their defense just hasn't been able to figure it out, and they haven't been able to recruit the players. There's a coaching convention coming up this weekend. It's the perfect time to blow a guy out, and he can go find a job, then go find a job. That had to be a tough move for Rich Rod. The other side of it is Arizona State, Todd hasn't had to fire anybody. Has Todd fired anybody yet? He hasn't fired anybody. Mike Norvell left on his own accord. Chris Ball left on his own accord.
Well, his son,
Bo Graham, was pushed to the door.
It wasn't a firing, but it was, well.
Some of the big cigars sent me notes saying, do you think we're going to get Bo Graham back?
Bo Graham resigned, but
what?
He was maybe forced to resign.
You know what? Well, yes, but when I'm getting big cigars asking, can we get Bo back? Like, that's going to solve the issues here? Bo Graham would not help Quishy Brown the other night just get toasted. And Paul Randolph is leaving too. And the way that his situation went here wasn't good. It just wasn't good. So on the football front, there's just a ton going on here behind the scenes at ASU and U of A. We're 29 days away from National Letter of Intent Day, which is the biggest day in college football. We always do a lot around it as well, and we will this year. So there's stuff going on that front. Sports360AZ.com is our website. We have plenty of content up there. If you just found us for the first time, welcome on board. Thanks for being with us. Those of you that have been with us for quite some time, love you sticking with us and having fun as we continue to grow this. We are the Whole Foods and Sprouts in a world of Walmart, which is media. Everything goes right here. This is where it is. sports360az.com. Thanks for being with us.